This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana. Welcome to the U.S. Lens, where we take a look at the financial markets from a U.S. perspective. And as you know, the markets have been extraordinarily volatile, although they have been trending higher over the last several days and weeks. In fact, led by big cap stocks, small caps and mid caps have underperformed to an extent, but recently have started to show some renewed signs of life. Joining us now to talk about the small and mid cap world is Bob Kaner. He's head of small and mid cap U.S. equities based in New York. Bob, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
All right. So we've seen an environment now where the mega cap stocks have really led the charge, whether the Microsofts, the Amazons of the world. Small cap in yesterday's turnaround, Monday's turnaround, played a little catch up. Is it time for a rotation out of the megas into the mids and the smalls?
Well, we've had a period of underperformance for small cap stocks now going back a number of years. There was a brief period of outperformance post the Trump election. But the reality is that if you believe the economic recovery that the market is discounting, and it is a significant recovery that the market is discounting, that you have to believe in a broadening growth dynamic in the U.S. markets. And that has historically been a very favorable backdrop for the small cap space.
Now, what about that? I mean, we believe that to be the case. The market's discounting that case. And yet there are concerns with respect to the coronavirus that we see either an extended first wave or a second wave sometime later this year. And it seems that those small and mid-cap stocks are levered directly to the performance of the U.S. economy. How does that figure into the mix?
Well, that's absolutely true, that the small cap space definitely derives a higher percentage of their revenues domestically than the large cap space. That's one of the reasons that they are the vehicle of choice when you believe it, an economic recovery being led by the U.S. markets. So we are certainly concerned around some of those, you know, re-shutdown risk. But I think the reality is the way we think about it is that any action taken in the future to contain further spread of the coronavirus is going to be much more surgical than what we saw in the first wave. We've seen steady improvement kind of week to week, really since the beginning of April. And that is really what's led some of the recent outperformance of the small cap market relative to large over the past month or so as the rally has really begun to broaden.
Yeah, and as the rally broadens, how does one differentiate between quality in the small and mid cap sector? You know, we hear that when you're talking about mega caps, you look for the companies that have a huge footprint, a huge market share, fortress balance sheets, and the like. Small and mid-cap managers don't often say that. So what determines quality in the space?
That's a really interesting question. The way we think about it, we really think about the moat around companies, their businesses, and what are the characteristics that have allowed them to generate the returns historically, and how those characteristics may change in the future. I think one of the most important things to think about, frankly, as we think about what this recovery looks like, is the denominator. Are companies that you're investing in taking on debt and issuing equity in order to get to the other side of the recovery? So we're very focused on capital structures. You know, we want companies that have moats around their business and can generate consistent cash to get to the other side of this recovery. I think we would argue that the depth of the decline is really of less consequence than the duration. And so we're thinking about our companies from the perspective of, do they have the capital structure and the cash flow to get to the other side? And those will be the ultimate winners.
Now we both mentioned the underperformance of small and mid-cap really over the last many years. And we've had many people discuss contrary plays or contrarian plays, if you will, whether it's migrating from big to small, whether it's migrating from growth to value, whether it's migrating from U.S. to emerging market. None of those contrary plays have really worked out for a variety of reasons. What are the reasons that they've just not been able to get the traction that many expected?
Well, the economic recovery, the growth has been very intermittent, really, since it going back to the beginning of 2017. So until you see greater visibility around broadening growth, you're going to see the market migrate towards the secular growth companies, irrespective of the multiples that you have to pay for those. We're in an environment now where I believe the top five stocks in the S&P 500 make up 24% of the index.
Yeah.
And that's higher than we saw in the late 1999, early 2000 era. So there is clearly a crowding in the secular growth stocks. And to the extent when that bubble burst, we all remember what happened back in the early 2000 era. So I think that the risk of crowding into those secular growth stocks at this point probably isn't worth the reward. But ultimately, you need greater sustained growth and greater traction and economic growth in order for that rotation that you're talking about to continue to have some legs.
Now, people are making the comparison to 1999 and 2000, but those companies, even the Microsofts, the General Electrics, the Ciscos, the Intels of the world, had revenue and profits, and they were valued quite highly. These companies are actually growing far faster in the mega cap space. They're increasing their market share. They're increasing their cash flows. And there may be a speeding up, if you will, of that secular change that you talked about. So why can't they continue their dominance?
Well, I don't actually question their ability to continue their dominance as a business. I question their dominance as a representing kind of where they are in the market and the valuations assigned to those businesses. They have incredible moats. They do generate great cash flow, but ultimately the market is paying exorbitant multiples in order to participate in that cash flow growth because there are so few options available to them elsewhere in the market. So I believe that it's not a question of their business model. It's a question of the value that the market is assigning to that business model and how that will change as more companies can participate in the economic growth as it begins to broaden.
What happens if it doesn't broaden? What happens to small and mid-cap if indeed we get the W economy, the square root economy, or whatever shape people are describing that's not an optimal V-shaped recovery?
You'll continue to see more of the same if rates stay depressed and growth is mercurial. So ultimately, you know, the environment that we've lived in where the secular growth companies attract the majority of the market participants, irrespective of multiples being paid, you're going to continue to see that. I mean, the question is how far can you push and how wide can that spread be between growth and value and small and large? And by any measure, we are in uncharted territory. There was a point in time this year where the growth index was outperforming the value index in both the large and small cap market by over 25 percentage points. 2019 was, we thought, a widespread, and growth outperformed value by 6 percentage points. So we're clearly at wide extremes. But if growth does not broaden and begin to uptick, there's no reason that we can't continue to see that.
So, Bob, it appears the White House and Congress may very well enact a $1 trillion stimulus package. Is that the type of stimulus, if you will, that would, in fact, help small and mid-cap stocks start to perform better?
Ron, the answer to that is absolutely yes. I mean, I think a stimulus bill is really one of the key components that's been missing from a variety of recovery packages that we've seen coming out of Washington and the Fed. And that was something that would be hugely bullish for small cap domestic cyclical companies and really help that kind of broadening of the growth that's so key to seeing continued small cap outperformance.
My final question, Bob, with respect to the process of investing in small and mid-cap stocks, exactly how should an individual think about doing that?
There is definitely an art to managing small cap portfolios. I've been doing this over 20 years, and I think one of the keys is a portfolio approach. It is a higher risk asset class. So ultimately, you do want to take a broader approach in terms of how you invest in the space. And it's really not about any individual company and the characteristics of that company. It's really about how the overall portfolio fits together and what the characteristics of that portfolio look like relative to the small cap opportunity set.
I was kidding about that being the last question. Let me ask you just one final question. We've had a lot in the news about individuals getting involved in trading fractional shares and in getting involved in either bankrupt companies or very, very small companies whose names we don't know. Is there more risk in that than what you do for a living?
I would say absolutely. We've certainly seen a market recently that has been had a large number of day trader participants, and you can see that through a variety of data. I'll give you one statistic. In the first seven trading days of June, the average stock trading less than a dollar was up over 65%. So that gives you a sense of the speculation that is in the market as opposed to small cap investing. This is really speculative traders with very short holding periods, and I think it is a tremendous risk to really what's happening at the lower end of the small cap space right now.
Bob, thanks very much for your insights. Appreciate it. Bob Kaner is head of small and mid-cap U.S. equities for Schroders based in New York. And I'm Ron Insana. Thanks for listening to the U.S. Lens. We'll talk to you again next week.
That was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to read more about any of the subjects we've spoken about in these shows, go to schroders.com/insights. You can listen to a whole back catalogue at schroders.com/the investor download. If you want to get in touch with us, it's schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Feel free to pose any questions. And if you want to rate, review and subscribe to us, you can do that via Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, with new shows available on a Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. But most importantly, keep safe and go well. Cheers.